The views and opinions expressed by the guests of the Inspira podcast do not necessarily represent the official policy or position of any agency of the United States government or any organization, public or private.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Inspira podcast, hosted by your girl, me, Erica Mueller Chen. I'm an international development specialist with over a decade of experience leveraging the amazing power of sport to promote peace and positive social impact. My career has allowed me to live in Europe, Southern Africa, and Latin America. In 2022, I accepted an offer for my dream job in sports diplomacy. And I also became an employee family member to a U.S. diplomat, aka an EFM. This podcast is all about inspiration and career advice. Each episode, I'll interview an inspirational global changemaker working in sport for development, social impact, or the diplomatic service. This series is perfect if you have interest in breaking into one of these sectors. Or you've already landed that dream role and are keen to learn from thought leaders. Enjoy today's episode and stay inspired.
When the athletes of North and South Korea marched in under one flag, and I had goosebumps. I could so much relate growing up in a divided island. The thought of using sport for peace building in Cyprus is something that I've had from my very first bicommunal experience when I was 16. And then fast forward almost 10 years from then, I was in Korea experiencing this moment. And I just thought, you know, why can't we do that? Why can't we break the barrier, use sport, bring people together?
Welcome, friends. Today's special guest is Sophia Papamihalopoulos. Sophia is an Olympic alpine skier who competed at the Vancouver 2010 Olympic Games. After graduating from the Paracelsus Medical University of Salzburg, she is now a resident doctor at the Department of Visceral Surgery and Transplantation of the University Hospital in Zurich, Switzerland. Next to her medical career, she tries to remain engaged in sports and the Olympic movement. She was appointed to the World Sailing Medical Commission in 2018, and that same year she contributed to the Athlete 365 space at the Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang. In 2021, Sophia was selected as an IOC Young Leader, where she has founded Winds of Change, a project aiming to create the first bicommunal Cypriot sailing team that will sail around the divided island together. Welcome, Sophia. I'm so excited to speak with you today. How are you and where are you calling us from?
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be here today. I'm calling in from Cyprus right now. I'm actually based in Zurich, but right now I'm taking a short break from work and I'm focusing on the launch of my project, Winds of Change.
Wow. Well, this is perfect timing for us, hopefully, to find out what you're thinking about and how everyone can support the launch. So really looking forward to chatting about that during this conversation. And before we get into that, I like to mention why our podcast guest inspires me, because I've called this podcast Inspira. And Sophia, for you, just learning about how you're really aiming to achieve a goal so personal to yourself and to your country around peace building is really, really powerful and meaningful. What I've been learning from your journey and a little bit about the journey of your country, you're aiming to tackle a conflict that has caused division for almost half a century. And just when you sit and think about that, just the weight of that conflict is so heavy. And so I'm eager to learn how you're staying motivated and where that inspiration comes from to really say you can do something about that challenge. You can do something about that conflict using something that is meaningful to you and hopefully fun for other people through sport. So really impressed and amazed by what you're aiming to do.
Thank you so much. This is a project that is very close to my heart. And I'm glad to talk to you about this today.
Wonderful. Well, maybe for starters, Sophia, I can ask you to share more with the audience about your sports journey and some of those athletic experiences or life experiences that are bringing us to today.
Sure. So I grew up in Cyprus near the sea, and my family was always very sporty. So I have a 2 year older brother, and we used to always be into sports, a lot of water sports. We started sailing quite early on. And because of my mom's background, she's from the Austrian Alps, we also skied from a very young age. And I guess it was also, a family thing, but also my brother being a little bit older, I always wanted to do what he does. And, it was a bit of a challenge between us. And I started competing, and first it was sailing at a local level. And but then there came a point where I realized that sadly, because I was a girl, I didn't get the same support that boys did. And at the same time, I was moving, I was also competing in skiing, and I was moving on to a level of international competitions, and surprisingly did really, really well in my first international year of competing. And then I decided to focus on that, and both my brother and I decided to become Cypriot ski racers, which is a bit funny when you think about, you're coming from a Mediterranean island. Yeah, we went on competing internationally, European Youth Olympic Games, Youth World Championships, and finally, 2010, we qualified and competed in Vancouver at the Olympic Games.
That's amazing. Well, your parents and your family members must have been just in awe to have two of their kids competing at the Olympic Games. That's incredible.
It was quite special for my family, and it's funny because when people ask my mom was a stay-at-home mom. When people ask her, what was your job? What did you work? And we always say, well, she raised two Olympians, so that has to be enough.
Wow. And then thinking about your sports journey, I know you mentioned just now that there were challenges you faced just simply because you were a girl. And I understand also that there were some more feelings that you had about sport, kind of as you competed at a really elite level, that athlete experience. Would you be comfortable speaking to that a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. I won't lie, it was a quite bumpy road as an athlete, realizing from a young age that you're not treated the same way because you're a girl. You would expect when you do well, more support coming, but then sometimes realizing that it was the opposite, that some people did not want you to succeed. That was mentally really challenging. I don't think that an athlete should have to focus on those things. As an athlete, you should focus on your performance. There were a lot of moments where I felt the only one who had my back was my family. And they're the only reason that my brother and I made it to the Olympics. And for a very long time, it felt like because when I was 16 and I had really good results internationally, especially for a Cypriot athlete, that's where the dreams started coming. That's when I started dreaming of the Olympics and dreaming of achievements, not just being there, but actually achieving something, especially representing a small country. And then all the obstacles that I then had to face, and then finally making it to the Olympics, but feeling that I failed. That was quite hard. Then I stopped racing or stopped being an athlete, also because of a lack of funding for the Olympic Games. I had a scholarship from the International Olympic Committee from the Olympic Solidarity Fund. But after that, there was no more funding, and realistically, for me, it didn't make sense to go on racing. And I was so disappointed, and for a very long time, I felt that I didn't really, yeah, that I didn't really do well as an athlete. And it took me some time to process and to realize that I made it to the Olympic Games. I represented my country in the the highest sport event in the world. But it took me some time to realize that, and to realize that it was actually an achievement, and to realize that my negative experience in sport had nothing to do with the sport itself, because I love doing sports, and sports are amazing, and they can do amazing things for people. I wanted to go, I think through trying to get back involved in sports, I really wanted to highlight that, and I wanted to give back to sports and to people, highlighting the positive.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think your experience is so rare, right? Like, I think especially these days, we're finding out so much about the negative impact, whether it's mental or physical, that certain sports can have, especially as people are competing at such a high level, especially while they're still early in their life, right? You were 19 when you competed at the Olympics. So even though that's really remarkable, just you acknowledging the challenges that came with that and the challenges that shouldn't have come with that. But really hearing you say that after that break away from sport, I mean, I know a lot happened. You became a doctor. You've been up to a lot of other really amazing things. But I understand that you've come back to sport and that there were a few key moments and experiences these last few years where you continued those thoughts around the potential positive power of sport. Could you talk to us about some of those? And then just this vision or this idea of the border in your country and how to peace build across that border.
Yeah, of course. Being in the medical field, I always felt that sport was missing in my life. And because I felt so passionate about giving back to sport and trying to contribute to creating a better environment for the athletes as well, I started getting involved in different projects, and one of them led me to the Olympic Games in Korea. And I was in the Olympic Stadium when the athletes of North and South Korea marched in under one flag, and I had goosebumps. I could so much relate to that growing up in a divided island, and the thought of using sport for peace building in Cyprus is something that I've had from my very first bicommunal experience when I was 16. And then fast forward almost 10 years from then, I was in Korea experiencing this moment. And I just thought, you know, why can't we do that? Why can't we break the barrier, use sport, bring people together?
This episode features an IOC young leader. For those wondering, what does that mean? The International Olympic Committee, aka the IOC, launched the IOC Young Leaders Program in 2016 in order to empower talents to leverage the power of sport to make a positive difference in their communities. 25 leaders from across the world are selected every 2 years for a 4-year period. As of April 2023, when I'm releasing this episode, the IOC website states that with the support of seed funding from the IOC and a network of mentors, these inspiring young people have already delivered over 140 initiatives, reaching over 30,000 individual participants. As agents of Olympism, they promote the Olympic values and principles of Olympism 365 days a year, spreading the message of sport for good. Panasonic is the founding partner of the IOC Young Leaders Program, and Eunice Sports Hub is an implementing partner. Now let's get back to the episode. I can just ask a follow-up about that bi-communal idea, right? Maybe you mm-hmm. can speak a little bit more about what that means for people who aren't familiar, and whether there are bi-communal opportunities for young people these days in Cyprus.
Yeah, so historically, Cyprus, because of its geographical position, it always hosted a lot of ethnic groups. And the biggest biggest communities being the Greek and Turkish Cypriots. And there were a lot of conflicts in the 60s and 70s and leading up to a war in 1974 that basically drew a line dividing the country. And roughly one third of our population was displaced. So before the war, Greek and Turkish Cypriots were living all around the island. And after the war, Greek Cypriots were forced to move to the south, and then Turkish Cypriots moved to the north. So speaking of bicommunal activities, we speak of activities that bring these two communities together. There are opportunities to participate in bicommunal activities, but in my opinion, there's not enough. There's very little happening through sport in Cyprus, but there's one great program by the peace players that use basketball to bring kids from both communities together to play basketball and develop through their programs and develop also other skills. And there's some other programs. For example, I went on a summer camp organized by Fulbright, where a team of bicommunal teenagers or kids, we spent 3 weeks in the US doing a lot of workshops together and just trying to get to know each other. But when I was growing up in Cyprus, I grew up in a time where the border was completely closed, so you could not move across the border. My family was originally from the north side of the island, so I knew that, you know, our roots are in the north, but I could never go there. And it was only in 2003 that the border opened, and even now you can only move across it by checkpoints. So there's still a lot of people hesitant to cross. I think much more needs to happen on a community level to rebuild that trust and rebuild, yeah, the connection between the people.
And that's a perfect segue into talking about winds of change. Sophia, I would love to know more about your IOC young leader journey so far and what inspired you to specifically create this project around sailing. Can you tell the audience more?
Yeah, I had the vision of using sport as a peace building tool in Cyprus for a very long time. And after the experience in Korea, a couple of years later, this opportunity came up to apply to the IOC Young Leaders Program. And this just sounded like the perfect program to use my vision and create an actual project. This program is organized by the International Olympic Committee, and they select 25 young leaders from all over the world and basically guide us and support us through the process of designing and developing a social development project through sport. So we have monthly expert sessions, we get a lot of resources, we get to connect and exchange ideas, and we also get significant funding that then helps us in designing and bringing our projects to life. And my project is called Winds of Change. Its aim is to create a sailing journey for a bicommunal team with a common purpose. So our final goal is to create this bicommunal team that will sail around Cyprus together. Why sailing? It's also my personal connection to the sport, growing up by the sea and growing up sailing, but also believing that it's a great sport to strengthen cooperation in a team, to strengthen, to make a team stronger, because we're aiming to have this team on a boat sailing together. So they really need to work together. And for everyone who's been on a boat before and spent some days on a boat with people, I think they know what I mean. You really need to work together. It's a very small space. You need to trust each other. And yeah, I think it's a great medium.
How many days do you anticipate that sailing journey would take if it all goes kind of the way that you've envisioned it?
It really depends on the weather, but we've calculated around 4 to 7 days depending on the wind.
What do you have planned in 2023, and how will the program function specifically?
We're planning to launch Winds of Change through a small event that we're organizing in the buffer zone. So our capital city is still divided, and there's a buffer zone that we're planning to do an event on in April to celebrate the International Day of Sport for Development and Peace, and also present Winds of Change and open applications to the program. And we will actually, during the event, we'll do a run around both sides of the city, starting and ending in the buffer zone. And then we're planning to open applications and select the first team of participants that will participate in the first stage of the program, which is the team development. So this will be a 5 days residential workshop series where the goal is for the people to get to know each other, have the first dialogue. We're going to have a lot of team building exercises and leadership workshops and a lot of sport activities. And then from there, we're going to select the final team that will go on into the sailing training. And that will be a 2-week program. Part of it will be on the southern coast, and part of it will be on the northern coast, collaborating with local clubs on both sides. Participants don't need to have prior sailing experience. So we're gonna teach them right from the beginning, sailing theory, wind theory, and then get them through the experience of sailing a single-handed dinghy, and then get them on a boat, on a larger boat together, that they will learn to handle together. And the final aim is to get them on a level that they can sail around the islands together. The third stage, which is the challenge of sailing around the island together, that will hopefully take place in September.
And what ages do you anticipate the participants will be, and will they speak the same verbal language?
That's a good question. So participants will be between 18 and 30 years old. The two communities speak different languages. So in the past, we used to have a dialect on the island that was probably originating from Greek, but also a lot of influence of Turkish Arabic, and everyone on the island used to be able to communicate with that dialect. But since the division, languages are moving more and more away from each other, and now the communities are speaking, Turkish and Greek. We still have dialects, a Turkish dialect and Greek dialect, but we cannot understand each other, so the language will be English.
And I'd love to know more about your planning experience so far. This does not sound like an easy task. I mean, the goal itself sounds amazing and important. Where are you at today? What are some of the things that you've already thought through? And are there any things that you're still working through before the launch coming up?
Yeah, so in the entire design process of the project, I've tried to take into consideration challenges that have that other projects have faced, and try to eliminate those. So the most important thing for this project is that we really keep politics out of it. We purposefully did not want any active involvement of any political or governmental organizations. It's a purely community level project, because once bigger organization local organizations come in, then it becomes really complicated with politics and legal issues. So we want to run this completely community based. We're collaborating with local clubs and the local sailing communities, and obviously, you would think the biggest challenge will be the actual circumnavigation around the island because of the political dispute about the territorial borders. So right now, you can cross the border through the checkpoints by land, but there has not been any crossing of the border by sea. This is very delicate and very sensitive, because there's a lot of politics involved in that, in the crossing of the border. One way we can overcome that challenge is to simply stay out territorial waters. That would make the journey even more challenging, but we believe that would also send a strong message. Ultimately, we are hoping that people will let us sail within the territorial waters. And right now, we're simply speaking to the sailing communities, to people on both sides, to see how we can make that happen. And the other challenges that we're facing is that, sadly, you know, you would think that a project like this would get support from all sides.
Yeah.
But sadly, on a local level, so we have a lot of support internationally, but on a local level, we found that people have become very skeptical in supporting bicommunal activities and being identified with them. So I don't know if it's the disappointment that people have had along the way, but we do see people actually distancing themselves from projects like these, which is really sad. And I think it's because there have been a lot of negative examples in the past, and we're hoping to create a positive example, and we're hoping to inspire people again to be able to get involved in these activities and to create something positive.
Sophia, I understand part of your vision for impact is also around filming that experience so that the positive impact not only lives within the participants, but that their journey and this powerful bicommunal experience can extend beyond the participants. What are your hopes with the film and with that long-term impact?
Exactly. So we really want to reach as many people as possible. And our motto is challenge, empower, inspire together. So we want to challenge young people to get out of their comfort zones in order to create something, a better future. We want to empower them through the program, give them the skills, communication skills, leadership skills to strengthen communication and dialogue between them. Through their journey, we want to inspire other people, and that's where also the film comes in, and we want to do it together. And with this film, we really want to tell the story of the team from the first encounter till completing the circumnavigation. We really want to show them the process and the emotions and everything they will go through, and capture that on the screen so that we can show it to people and maybe give them the feeling like they were there. But the ultimate goal is really to reach as many people and inspire them and show them, highlight the importance of sport in peace building and the power that it has to bring people together. And also show them that each one of us plays a role in the peace building process.
Wonderful. Well, Sophia, in reflecting on your IOC Young Leaders experience so far, are there any reflections that you have or things that you've learned, whether it's creating winds of change or the trainings and exchanges that you've been able to have?
Yeah, so one thing I would share is that it's important to be patient. creating a project like this, it's a bumpy road and you just need to be patient. There's times where things are not moving as fast as you want them to. And then there's moments where everything happens all at once. The creating a project like this, it's really an ongoing process. Making changes along the way and trying things out, that's part of it. And through the IOC Young Leaders Program, I think one of the strongest messages is that there are a lot of like-minded people out there, and it's important to connect, it's important to exchange ideas and create partnerships.
And that leads us into my next question. You might have already answered it, but why do you think it's important to have programs like the IOC Young Leaders in order to support young people and their ideas?
I think it's really important because I truly believe there's a lot of people out there with great ideas, but maybe they're lacking the resources or the support system. And it's really important to help young people create a project through their vision. And especially IOC Young Leaders program, I think the way it's set up, it's great because it keeps you engaged. We have, you know, we meet regularly. The size of the group is really, you know, comfortable. We know each other really well. We've connected really well. And you can really talk about your project and get inspired by others. The program really gives you a powerful platform also to present your project to the world and get support.
Sophia, I know this next one is a really big question, but what do you hope to see in Cyprus in 10 or 20 years from now?
That's a good question. To be very honest, I think it's really hard to see a change after such a strong division and long division in a short time. But what I'm hoping to see is a change in mindset. For people to become more open, to have more trust in each other, and for more opportunities to create common goals together. And hopefully from there, we will finally achieve, you know, a peaceful solution where everyone feels safe and understood.
Now that we know more about our guest's career journey, the rest of our conversation will allow us to have some fun and get to know our guest on a personal level through some rapid-fire questions. We'll then start to wrap up with pointed questions focused on advice and how our listeners can transform interest into action. Enjoy the rest of the conversation. Sophia, what is your favorite city?
That's a hard one. I would say Vancouver.
Really?
Because of the Olympic Games and because I have such a vivid memory of it. It was such an amazing city, but I haven't been back since. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, you'll have to visit because I think I mentioned to you I'm moving there in a few months. So, yeah, we'll make it happen. Somehow.
You did mention, and I will get back to your offer.
What's your favorite food?
Definitely meze. So meze is when you go to a taverna, a restaurant in Cyprus, you order meze. So there's no menu. They will just bring everything they have in the kitchen, but like small portions of it. So you'll just get dozens of dishes. And it's just delicious. And I guess the way to describe it is the perfect mix of Mediterranean and Middle Eastern cuisine.
Lovely. In terms of your two big sports, skiing and sailing, what do you think is the most important skill to have to be a good sailor and to be a good skier?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think both sports share the fact that you need to have a lot of different skills. So it's not there's a lot of technique, but also a lot of physical abilities involved. So I think you need to find the balance in that.
And are there any sports you do these days for fun or recreationally? I would imagine sailing and skiing are not things that you can just wake up out of bed and just go do for a few hours.
Running is one thing you can do, you know, you just can get up and go for a run. So I love running, and it's really, I think it has a kind of meditative thing for me. It's a time when I can shut down and just, yeah, relax.
What type of dog do you have?
I have a Italian greyhound. We used to have four in the family, and he's the last one. Yeah.
What's his name?
His name is Tequila.
Tequila. Oh my goodness. Well, you're getting me when I'm in Mexico. You know, I'm actually a 45-minute drive away from the city of Tequila.
Oh, that's amazing.
I won't ask any follow-up questions. Don't worry. You're safe here.
Yeah, don't judge me.
Well, Sophia, in thinking about advice and thinking about young people aiming to solve a problem in their own community, are there any words of wisdom that you might give them?
I guess the most important is find something that you're passionate about to change. Because it's hard, and if you're not passionate about it, it's going to be even harder. And as I mentioned earlier, be patient, try things out. If it doesn't work, try something else, change it up and connect with people, connect with like-minded people, try and find the right people on your team and create strong partnerships because it can get lonely.
And in thinking about the power of sport, are there any pieces of advice or keys to success that you've seen in order to use sport for good?
I just think sport itself is such a great tool and vehicle to break barriers and to transmit values and skills to people. It's fun. You don't need to speak the same language. Sport is just a neutral ground where people can come together, and it can create this shared common experience for a common passion. And can create common goals for people.
Well, I thought of one more question, Sophia, in thinking about your work in peace building through sport and your specific geography. Do you feel like your idea or what you're learning could be helpful for people in other geographies who may be living in culturally divided communities or countries that have had historical conflict?
I really hope so. Especially today, also with the war going on in Ukraine, it's highlighted more in the media, but there are so many conflicts in the world. And through Winds of Change, I just want to show that apart from all the political conversations that are going on, you can do things on a community level. You can, everyone plays a role in peace building. And yeah, we should be using sport more, and we should be participating more in the peace building process.
Well, are there any ways that the audience can follow your progress with Winds of Change or support the project over the next months?
Definitely. So the audience can follow us on our social media channels. We're launching a website soon, so I hope I can share that with you for the audience. You can also donate to my GoFundMe campaign. All the support we can get, we need all the support we can get, and share our journey. We want to reach as many people as we can.
Sophia asked me to add here that Winds of Change is currently designing the incredible peace-building sailing journey to take place in 2023. And with that, she's in the process of assembling a team of local and international partners who will make the film possible. This film will memorialize and showcase the Winds of Change historic journey. Sophia invites anyone interested in partnering to develop the film or sponsoring the film to please get in touch with her. This is a really unique opportunity to help put the peace-building experience on a screen, and it will also provide media exposure to those who support the film. Well, my final question that I love to ask all of my amazing guests is who or what inspires you?
What inspires me right now is truly the love that I feel for my country and the belief that change can happen and that we need to take part of it. And who inspires me? I would definitely say right now, all the IOC young leaders out there who are spread out all over the world and they're changing lives through sport. And I know you're planning to interview a couple of them, so I don't want to say too much, but they're some amazing people and they really inspire me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Inspira podcast with Erica Mueller Chen. I really hope you enjoyed the episode and found it useful. Be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. Until next time, stay inspired.